good evening, and welcome to this week's Pet Whiskers, the best way to spend a Sunday evening, I always find. I asked you recently, if you remember, where you are just at the moment, when you listen to the programme, and we've had a lot of letters on the subject. Many thanks to Sigourney McDowell, who has written to us in Northampton to say that she listens to the programme with her brother in their bedroom.
James Sills listens in his bedroom as well. In fact, he's in bed at the moment, so good evening to you, James. And Miriam Bloom is either lying on her bed or sitting at her desk doing her homework, whichever you are doing at the moment. Miriam, thank you for your letter, and thank you for listening to Cat's Whiskers. Tonight on the programme, we will be celebrating National Pet Week in the company of Katie Boyle from Radio 2. We have episode 3 of our serial Finn McCool and the Small Men of Deeds, and also a new Kitty Perwell and Dick Dogsbody case, so get your pens and paper ready for the case of the Crump Conundrum. But on the subject of Perwell and Dogsbody, to the results of the case of the singing detective. Well done if you got the answer right. The lady that was causing all the mischief was Ivy Diver, who works at the swimming pool, and the clues that gave her away were as follows. The glove found at the scene of the crime had a faint smell of chlorine on it. And the message that was sent was made out of letters from the magazine Moggy Monthly. And of course, Ivy said that she liked cats. And she also knew about the false beards smeared with jam. So well done if you got Ivy Diver. Detective Kitts on the way to Sarah Dixon, who lives in Ethelbert Avenue in Southampton, to Jonathan James Taylor from Nottingham, and to Sarah Haig from Coventry. Pens and papers at the ready, Ace Detectives, now for the case of the Crump Conundrum.
The name's Perwell, Kitty Perwell, private eye, ace detective and super sleuth for the city of Spamchester. Over the years, being a world-famous detective has taught me many and varied specialist skills. The ability to spot hitters to make subtle deductions and the knack of eating cream crackers without making crumbs on the carpet. In tonight's little caper, a number of my talents were called into play, as Dogsbody and I were left to figure out the Crump Conundrum. Ah, Dogsbody, old man. Thought I'd find you out here in the garden.
Just trying to work up a bit of a tan, KP. Here, hold me corners for a moment while I slap on a bit more suntan lotion. That's better. Don't want to end up looking like a lobster. So.
Never known a heat wave like it. 13 weeks of blazing sun and not a drop of rain. And the forecast says it's going to continue indefinitely.
I hope you don't mind me mentioning it, but don't you think you'll feel a bit more comfortable if you took off your trench coat and hat?
Shame on you, Dogsbody. You know perfectly well that as Spamchester's most celebrated super sleuth, I must always be ready to spring into action on the spur of the moment.
Ha! You really crack me up, you know, KP. Who the heck do you think's going to come strolling up the garden path on a lovely hot sunny day like today and hire the pair of us to work on a case?
Sorry to bother you on such a lovely hot summer day like today, but I'd like to hire the pair of you to work on a case. The name's Jump, Major Jump. I'm in charge of the security up at the Spamchester Top Secret Laboratory. I'm afraid there's been a spot of bother. I would have rung you, but all the phones on the site have been out of action for the last week. This bally heat. I expect it's melted the wires or something.
What exactly is the problem, Major?
Professor Crump has been working on a highly sensitive new invention. His top-secret, high-altitude, self-inflatable thermal underpants.
Wow, oi!
Now, this morning, some fiend inserted a jam-flavoured sleeping substance into the professor's mid-morning donut. One bite, and he went out like a light. While the old boy was unconscious, the thief made off with the blueprints to Crump's latest creation. I don't need to tell you, Mayor Sowell, how vital it is to get back our undercover underpant designs before they fall into enemy hands.
Leave it to Hydra. Dogsbody, get up out of that deck chair, get your trousers on, and let's get going. There's work to be done.
¶¶
Now, this is the laboratory where Professor Crump was working. The plans were right here on this table.
And when you found the professor unconscious on the floor, was there anything about him that was unusual or different?
Well, I don't think so. He was lying down over there with his calculator in his hand.
Aha! And is this the calculator he was holding?
Yes. Yes, that's the one.
These numbers on it, were they on here when you found the professor?
Yes, indeed. I haven't touched a thing.
Dog's body, pencil, pad, get scribbling. I want you to write down these numbers. It's just possible that Professor Crump was attempting to leave us a clue on his calculator before he passed out.
Right, yeah, I'm far away, kitty.
3, 1, 5, 7, 3.
3, 1, 5, 7, 3. Got him, Kayfay.
Now, I've eliminated most of the staff here from my inquiries, but there are three dodgy characters who I'm just not sure about. I reckon one of them's our thief.
Okey-dokey, mate. Tell us the names and I'll scribble them down.
Well, we have a couple of overseas visitors working here at the moment. There's that Swedish doctor, Sven Garlic, he calls himself.
Sven Garlic.
Then there's a Chinese chappie, Dr. Shu.
Dr. Shu.
But not forgetting our tea lady, Elsie Eccles.
Elsie Eccles.
Thank you, Major. Now we shall investigate. We shall interrogate. We shall eliminate.
And with a bit of luck, we'll be finished around 8:30.
Now, Dr. Garlic, I know you're pressed for time, but do you know anything about the missing blueprints?
Ah, Miss Pearl, what a pleasure to meet you. I had no idea what a sweet lady you were.
Cut the flannel, Garlic, just answer the question.
You know, Miss Pearl, back in Sweden, the weather is not at all like this. We are cold country. But we Swedes always say is, the snow plays like home. A little Swedish humour, yeah.
Look, Buster, we don't need no Scandinavian stand-up comedy routine here. We want to know what you were doing at the time of the crime.
What do you think I would be doing when the weather is making me swelter and sweat like this? What else is there to do? I went for a swim.
Dr. Shu.
Call me Jim.
Jim Shu.
We're investigating the theft of Professor Crump's latest plans.
I know nothing about it, Miss Powell. I have no interest in the professor's work. I am far too busy working on my own letters and invention. Look, I show you. See this? My masterpiece. My creation. An alarm clock that doesn't ring.
Yeah, brilliant, Dr. Shaw. For that, you ought to win the Nobel Prize.
Now, you are Elsie Eccles, the tea lady.
That's me, ducks.
And what exactly were you doing, Miss Eccles, at the time of the robbery?
Now, let me think, dear. Well, after taking Professor Crump his tea and donut, like I usually does, I popped into the office to phone me sister Minnie. I always gives her a tinkle once a week, like. Keeps me in touch with all the gossip and goings-on. Oh, you wouldn't believe the trouble she's having with her Archie's pimples.
Thank you, Miss Eccles.
And she still can't get that budgie of hers to come back down the chimney.
Yeah, well, thanks.
And
yeah.
Derek's no use at all. Him with his dicky leg and his rising dab. Oh.
Yes. Thank you very much, Mrs. Eccles.
Oh, is that it? Is that all? Right then, lovey. I'll just take me hat and umbrella and I'll toddle off home then. Bye-see-bye.
Well, I'm blowed if I know, don't it, Cafe? Could have been any of them. You got any ideas?
An open and shut case, old bean. Simple pimple. I could have solved it standing on my head.
Kayfay, you've done it again. Delict. What a brat. What about me, Sir Change?
C.
So, ace detectives, who do you think stole Professor Crump's plans? And how do you think they were going to get the plans out? And what about the calculator? What about those numbers? Do you think that's an important clue? If you think you've solved the case of the Crump conundrum, send your answers to us here at the usual Cat's Whiskers address. Now, yesterday was the start of National Pet Week, which is a campaign to encourage all of us to be responsible pet owners, whether we've got cats or spiders, gerbils or just goldfish. And as part of National Pet Week, I took a trip to London recently to meet two very dedicated dog lovers.
Well, it's about 7:30 in the morning, and you can probably tell from the noise. We are at the dog's home in Battersea. I'm here to talk to Pauline Martinetti, is that right?
Yes, that's right, yes.
And Katie Boyle. Morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Katie, how long have you been involved with Battersea Dog's Home?
I can't remember a time that I wasn't. I think it must be about 25 years now.
How did you get involved in the first place?
Because I've had dogs and I've had rescued dogs ever since I can remember. And so Battersea was the only place I could possibly finish up.
And it is a very special involvement you have with the place, isn't it? Is it you go out and find stray dogs on the streets?
Formerly, I'm on the committee. But this young woman next to me, Pauline, who is knee-high to a grasshopper, is our marvellous main driver. She is our head driver. She is in charge of all the vans, five vans, and the trips out that go to police stations. I have been with her two different police stations all over London, and I have watched when we have had dogs that have been snarling and bared teeth and red eyes and police people who have been saying, for goodness sake, don't go near that one. It'll kill you. Within 5 minutes, they have been licking our faces, licking our hands. Pauline never wears gloves, neither do I. And she has this incredible touch. And I think I have certainly an empathy too. And a great many people come and give us dogs, and we have had to put down dogs which have been perfectly healthy and which, if they had had caring, responsible owners, would never have been in this position.
Tell me about the runs. How many do you do a day?
There's one main run. The four vans go out, north, south, east and west. And we make the lists out from the telex that we get in from the Metropolitan Police first thing in the morning.
And what happens when you've got the dog back here?
When we get it back here, it's checked over by the nurse, jabbed for parvo, distemper and other things, given a number by the keeper and then taken to its pen by the kennel staff.
Can I have a look round?
Yes, follow
me. Can you show me around?
Yes, sure.
You're a noisy one, aren't you? Hello, my name is Flyby, and I've been here since the 15th of February 1989. I don't like cats, but I'm good with teenagers and most dogs. If you're interested, please see a keeper.
That's a long time. It's golden oldies.
Yes, that's it. The ones that have been here a long time, we categorise as golden oldies.
How much do you charge for a dog?
They start at £35 and go up to, I think it's about 80.
And all that money goes back into the running of the home?
That's right, yeah, it's all put back.
What's the most popular breed? Which ones go very quickly?
German Shepherds, a lot of people want. A lot
really?
Of people like them. Yeah, we get a lot in and they tend to go quite quickly. And the little dogs, all the little breeds go immediately. Anything like the King Charles, Yorkies, they all go.
If you want to buy a dog from Battersea, you've got to fill in a form to make sure you're a suitable person to own the dog. And then you can look round all the various breeds and choose a friend for life. After our tour of the treatment rooms and the kennels, which are all squashed up, by the way, by a railway in Battersea, it was time to say goodbye to Katie and jump aboard the animal ambulance driven by Pauline to make the day's collections.
We're at the end of a rather bumpy ride in the back of an animal ambulance. My bottom's rather sore. Where are we?
We're at East Dulwich in South London.
At the police station?
At the police station, yes. We've got one dog here.
Somebody is pining in that little pen over there, isn't she or he?
One little brindle mongrel.
Don't run away, don't run away.
This is sweetie, isn't it?
Yes, if people would just put collars and names and addresses on, it would make all the difference. I mean, we could get in touch with them. Well, the police would get in touch with them before they even got as far as us.
If I lose a dog, where do I go?
Well, your first port of call should be your local police station. If they've got no record of it, try your local vets, just in case he's been in an RTA. If not, come straight to the Battersea Dogs Home or any other animal welfare, because the RSPCA take in strays as well.
What's an RTA?
Well, it's a road traffic accident if your dog is run over.
So what happens now with Smiler here?
Well, he's been put in the van and tied to the bar, and then I have to go in and sign for him. We have to have a document for each dog. And then he's back to Battersea.
Right, back of the van for you then, sunshine. Come on.
Well, let's put this on you properly.
Oh, collar on properly.
Yes. We don't have slip leads because they could hang themselves on slip leads or choke chains. We don't have them at all.
A typical day?
No, I mean, we've got altogether today, it was about 38 dogs on, but this is just one.
38 per day?
Yeah, it is 30 to 40 a day, normally about 50 to 60
that's about
on
200 a week?
Yes. It arises to about 22,000 to 23,000 a year.
And how many have you facilities for at the home?
Officially 460.
Yeah, but unofficially?
But unofficially, we can hold up to about 700.
700?
Or more. We have to make room because they've got to go somewhere.
And he's got to go.
He's
going to
go
back of that ambulance.
In a minute.
This is very well designed for dogs to travel in. Perhaps not as well designed for human beings. Sawdust might be all very well for you lot, but not for me, I can tell you. What it is nice to see, actually, from an ambulance like this, is dogs with owners on the pavements. Looked after, loved dogs with homes to go to, on collars and leads, sensibly by the side of the road, or in some of the parks playing. It's quite sad, really, when you see them out there having such a nice time and being looked after properly, and the dogs that I'm with in the back of the van here, who've been rejected or discarded. It really brings it home to you when you see it from this side instead of the other way around. I think our friends are getting more used to the journey as things go on. If they get into the back of the ambulance uncertain of what's going to happen, you can be sure that by the end of the journey, they're much happier with things and they realise that they're safe and they're happy and they're going somewhere where they're going to be looked after. I've done some unusual things in my time here at Cat's Whiskers, but travelling in the back of a Battersea Dogs ambulance, I think, has to take the biscuit. My thanks to Radio 2's Katie Boyle and to Pauline Martinetti for allowing me to join them. Now, competition time on Cat's Whiskers, and we've some brilliant National Pet Week prizes to give away in a very simple competition. If you can answer these questions about TV pets. Who is Rolly? Who is Magic? And who is Willow? Who is Rolly? Who is Magic? And who is Willow? If you know the answers to those TV pet questions, then send them to the address coming up, of course, at the end of the programme. National Pet Week runs till next Sunday, and there are loads of events going on up and down the country, including dog and cat shows, church services for pets, and road shows as well. It being National Pet Week, this seemed like a good word to put into the Pulitzer. A-N-I-M-A-L. Cat's Whiskers Club members celebrating a birthday this week are Jennifer Lomax, Jenny Harper, Tom Shepherd, Eleanor Dickinson, Jessica Betts, Amanda Wooden, Samantha Porter, Helen Roberts, Sarah Blinkthorne, Edwin Mayhew and Joanne Sandercombe. Happy birthday also to Amy Smith, Peter Roberts, Elizabeth Drew, Amelia Jackson, Jenna Midcalf, Andrew Dieth, Megan Argo, Richard Everett and Simon West. Also celebrating this week, Peter Marshall, happy birthday Timothy Froggett, happy birthday Luke Giddings, Christopher Schofield, James Langford, Francis Simon, Mark Sheehan, Rosie Brown, Isaac Bullen, Fiach Murphy, Jason Sykes and Charlotte Jones. Not forgetting Mark and Jennifer Pardo, Alexander Hill, Helen Yates, Matthew Bush, Hetty Jones, Louisa Merrill and Thomas Flower. A very happy birthday to all of you from all of us on Cat's Whiskers. It's time to find out who's won that nationally famous Cat's Whiskers t-shirt. So let's push the Pulitzer again. One, four, nine, one,
9. Oh! And my Perlitzer tells me that that is the membership number of Mark Pardoe, who celebrates his 8th birthday on Thursday the 10th of May. But Mark, I know that you're a twin, and your sister Jennifer obviously celebrates her birthday on the same day as well, so we will send you both a T-shirt. Happy birthday to the two of you. You actually share your birthday with Bono from U2, Richard Adams, who's the author of Watership Down, amongst other things, and the husband of the Prime Minister, Dennis Thatcher. Time now on Cat's Whiskers for our serial. Can Finn carry out his promise to guard the giant king's only son? Let's find out in episode 3 of Finn McCool and the Small Men of Deeds, A Thief in the Night.
Finn and his companions, the Small Men of Deeds, in company with the grieving king, were now conducted to the strongest room in the castle. The newborn child lay fast asleep. Two nurses sat as still as heraldic beasts, one on either side of the cradle. They were fine-looking women, though of course rather outsize. Finn at once inspected the room. It was sparsely furnished, without drapes or cupboards where a thief might hide. In the huge fireplace, a fire of middling-sized tree trunks had been laid, but not lit. Finn went straight to the window, and had its shutters closed, barred and bolted before you could say snap. At this, there was the sound of shutters banging all through the castle as the people prepared for the coming of the thief. The king handed a key and a leather bag on a string to Finn.
Take this. It locks the door of this room. And you, Finn, will lock it after me when I leave and let no one in on any account. You won't, will you?
You may trust me. My friends and I will guard this child through thick and thin. And if in spite of all we can do, the child is stolen, then I will certainly answer for it with my head.
What more could anyone say?
At once Finn locked the door. He put the key in its bag and hung the bag round his neck. He sat down at the table and turned to the nurses.
You can sleep safely, ladies. Leave the guarding and the worry to us, the trusted servants of your king.
And at once the nurses relaxed and were soon deeply asleep. Then it was that knowing man spoke quietly to Finn.
You shouldn't have offered your head for that little lad's safety, for he will certainly be snatched tonight in spite of all we can do.
You took your time telling me. Why didn't you tell me before?
If I told everything I know, no one would ever do anything.
Don't smile at me. Tell me. Do you know who the thief is?
She's the king's own sister. She's a spiteful old biddy of a witch, and she lives far away in her own castle on the top of a glassy mountain. She and the king had a bitter quarrel many years ago. The king has forgotten, but she is not. She makes herself invisible and goes up on the roof. She stretches her hand down the chimney, snatches the child out of its cradle, and away she goes without a soul being the wiser. That's how she does it. The king never connects any of his troubles with his own sister. She let it be known years ago that she was emigrating to Alba to marry a king over there.
Never mind the gossip. Light that fire.
When the fire was well and truly lit, Lazyback spoke up.
As soon as that hand comes down the chimney, I'll take hold of it. The hand that comes down stays down, and that's for sure.
Never fear. Once she feels the fire, she'll pull away again.
If that child is stolen, there'll be a queer dawn chorus round here in the morning.
What do you think, Farfina?
Maybe we should skedaddle out of here while the going is good, and not stay for any drama.
We cannot betray the king. I gave my word. You can all go if you want to, but I stay, and don't mention skedaddling to me any more.
The small men exchanged smiles with one another. Clearly they intended to stay. The hours passed by, and they all listened for the sound of the witch. The
the ugly, evil witch paced up and down in her room, which was situated in one of the high spires of her black castle, which arose from a mountain of black basalt rock in the dark sea. She muttered and cackled to herself.
Not yet dark enough. Not yet deep enough. The king, my stupid brother, watches for something that he can never see. I am like death itself. Soon it will be black night and I can take my pleasure. I shall destroy his house, root and branch.
There was a shrilling of laughter as the night sky went thick with heavy cloud. As she prepared to leave, her eyes were bright with madness. Farfeeler suddenly sat bolt upright and turned to Finn.
The witch is getting ready.
What is she doing?
She stands strangely in the center of a room. Her arms are outstretched, and she mutters a spell. Now she's beginning to twist. Now she is twisting and spiraling up into the air, and now she is in the sky and on her way.
Three Sticks took a chip of wood from his pocket and tossed it into the hearth. In the same second, the fire was flashing and roaring up the chimney.
She is coming over the sea. She is fast approaching. She moves like a dart. She has arrived. I can feel the shaking of her silent laughter. It is very evil. Still invisible, she floats above. Now she is on the roof.
Get ready!
Finn wondered what the giant witch would do next. He didn't have long to wait. The witch pulled a small piece of cloud across the sky, and when it was over the chimney, she squeezed it like a full sponge, and rain came flooding down to put out the fire. The room filled with steam. With great bravery, all of the small men held their arms in the chimney opening, and when the huge arm came down, it didn't escape detection. Lazyback caught hold of it quite gently, and he exerted his full strength. He was far, far heavier and stronger than the basalt mountain where the witch's castle stood. The witch tried with all her might to pull away from whatever strange thing it was that had caught hold of her. Suddenly, Lazyback tipped over. The witch's pull had gone, and at a stroke, the arm was visible. It had come away from its socket in the witch's shoulder, and now it was lumpishly blocking the chimney. Everyone was stunned at this awful thing, but at the same time glad. For now, Finn wouldn't lose his head. They'd won the battle, and the infant was still safe. The arm was dragged down into the room by the small men, and everyone stood marveling at it. And, as they marveled, the second arm came swiftly and invisibly through what remained of the steam, snatching the infant prince before anyone could say snip. All were aghast. They looked at the empty cradle and at the empty fireplace. They stared at each other in total disbelief. Finn was the first to recover.
Quick, everybody! We can't let her beat us! We'll follow her to the castle over the sea!
Will Finn be able to save the giant baby prince? Well, you can find out next week in the final episode. Also next week, a new serial for you to enjoy, Charlotte's Web, and the whole programme sounding slightly different because we'll be coming from Glasgow. We'll in fact be there on Tuesday this week as well as part of the Radio Goes to Town exhibition. So until next Sunday, have a good week. Bye-bye.
Cat's Whiskers address is BBC PO Box 40, Manchester, M601FR. That's BBC PO Box 40, Manchester, M601FR. 1FR. Well, if you'd like to meet Andy Crane and the Cat's Whiskers team, they will, as he said, be at the Radio Goes to Town exhibition on Tuesday the 8th of May in George Square, Glasgow. There'll be two shows that day, the first at 1 o'clock and the second at 5 o'clock. Cat's Whiskers, Radio Goes to Town, George Square, Glasgow, on Tuesday the 8th of May. That's next Tuesday. Cat's Whiskers was produced in Manchester by Mary Callum-Carrion.